This tape will record an interview with Dr. Nils Johnson. The interview is a part of the Oral History Project, Morehead State University, 1925 through 1950, and it's being taped in the sound studio of the Audiovisual Department of Morehead State. The date is November 18, 1982. I can call you Nils because it's 1982. Back in 39, when you came to Morehead State, I suppose even the faculty had to call you Mr. Johnson?
No. No, even my students called me Nils.
They did, back then.
But it wasn't accepted by the staff, and it. In my classes, the students quickly called me by my first name. And my friends, anyone I meet today uses that name.
That's interesting, because when I came later to Morehead State, mm-hmm. we all went by last names, mm-hmm. Students and faculty. How did you happen to come to Morehead State?
I was teaching at Aberdeen, South Dakota, and Northern State Teachers College. I'd been there since 1931, and through the time I was at Aberdeen, I started in Aberdeen with a BA degree in art, and during the time I was at Northern State, I attended summer schools for 7 straight summers and got my master's degree, so that the summers were well taken care of. And in the year before I left there, I got my master's degree. I was there 8 years.
And you got it there at Aberdeen?
At Aberdeen, yes. I was interested in getting out of South Dakota. The state was relatively poor at that time, and
it was 50th back then too.
It was if I could get to Iowa or Minnesota or any place easter, I was glad to move.
So you must have heard about the vacancy at Morehead State through Aberdeen's.
Through an agency.
I had
my name with an agency.
Then did you come here to interview the president?
No.
Or did he?
Yes, I did come here for an interview. I don't remember, really.
That was President McLean?
McLean, yes.
And you don't remember if you interviewed the head of the art department or if you
interviewed...
Uh-huh. You didn't?
I don't remember that either. I just know that I got a letter of acceptance and after the interview and
then came.
We moved up, my wife and I and daughter.
Do you remember what Morehead looked like when you came in 39? Can you picture it?
Well, there was a gate, of course, and McLean Hall and Weld Hall and Wheeler and Lohman and the campus goal. And I'm not sure whether there was a wood building between the campus goal and,
I think one came in there to...
Well, during the war.
During the war.
There was a structure for the Army program, and then there were some 10 or so smaller structures for living quarters for the soldiers, about where Ballard Hall is. No, further north in the football field area.
Now that was, the soldiers didn't come as early as you did.
Well, those structures were there this side of the olive trees. There was a row of olive trees on them.
They were there already.
And they were, yes.
And but were those wooden buildings there in 39 when you came, do you know?
No. Oh,
they came later
When the soldiers
and
came.
And that was in the early 40s, wasn't it?
Yes.
Do you remember anything about the city of Morehead?
Not anything significant. about that time, it appealed to me.
And what about housing? Did you have to find your own housing?
We had to find our own housing, but it was wasn't any problem. I think we moved into an apartment unit across the campus of Morehead State. It wasn't Morehead State then, it was Morehead Teachers College.
Why were you needed about 1939? Were you the second person in the department, or did Matilda Williams have other people?
Well, the name of the one Matilda Williams took the place of the retiring head of the department. And I think her name was Catherine McCartney. That's something that should be checked on. I couldn't find any information about that. And then I came in as an instructor in art education. And so there were the two of us.
That's what I wondered, if there were just two when
just,
you came.
Just two when I came.
Then who was taking art? Were all the people in your classes teachers? Going to be?
At that time, we had the two-year program still going, and all elementary teachers had to take two courses in art. One was Art Elements, and one was in Applied Design. I think there was a different name at that time for Applied Design, but these were required of all elementary teachers. And so we got in our classes, Ms. Williams and I got in our classes. Every student came here for education in the elementary, and that was the main program on the campus at that time.
So you had almost every student that came to school.
Well, in addition, with the secondary group, Matilda Williams had the art history, and art history was required as a one of the requirements for secondary students. So the two of us took care of practically all of the students on the campus.
And just about all the students were going into teaching?
Most, even in the secondary level, they were going into teaching.
Uh-huh. Were there more, we're covering the period 1925 to 1950, mm-hmm. So by 1950 there were more faculty in the art.
Oh, yes.
Department.
Well, not. We had a teacher over in the campus school who had charge of the high school and the junior high classes in art. I'm not sure about whether this came about by 1950 or not. I had charge of, as part of my load, I had charge of the high school students, and I taught over there 5 or 6 or 7 years as part of my load. And
in the high school and the campus?
In the high school on the campus.
And then you had student teachers. Did you?
I had student teachers, and after I finished my teaching over there, and this is getting close to 1950, then we hired someone else who would teach over there, and I think one of the first ones was Sue Murray, a young girl who married the son of Byron Murray. And she was there for a while.
I think I can remember mm-hmm. when she was there. So you did teach in the campus school, in the high school.
In the high school, and then later on I did some teaching in the junior high. And I sort of worked with the grade school teachers. I talked to them number of times, and each grade I would go over there and observe the classes. Mm-hmm.
Where were the college classrooms for art? Were they always in McLean?
They were in McLean from the time I came until we moved to the Fine Arts Center.
They were on the third floor?
They were on the third floor. There were three rooms, main rooms, and a small off room, plus two offices.
That must have looked pretty good to you because the building was quite new.
The building was nice and the quarters were very nice. I was quite satisfied with the setup as far as space.
Did you have many men students?
Very few, especially in the early years. But we always had two or three or four art majors. Not art majors at that time, but art minors. In the first years.
And then a little later you did have art majors.
Well, we did have art majors under Dr. Snarr.
Then in 1941, I think most of the men students that mm-hmm. were here left and went off
yes.
to war.
Yes, we saw them leave, and they were the National Guard members, and Mr. Nemzik was our leader. I think he was a colonel at the time.
Did they have some kind of a ceremony or?
I don't remember.
Some event? You don't remember
the
any?
Detail there, no, but we were very conscious of that entire group leaving, and they were among the first ones to go into the war.
Do you remember any special war events while these men were gone? For a while there, the campus had just had the women there that were going to be teachers. And did the people on campus have to do anything in connection with the war? I remember when I was teaching, there was so much. We handled the gas rationing and all that, but you people didn't get into that.
Not so much, no. I was away on a leave of absence, and during that leave, a number of the faculty signed up for duty in the Navy and Army, and they were among some of the better ones of the faculty at the time, but they signed up, and so we were short that many more teachers, but we also had fewer students because of the men leaving, and practically the athletic department went with it, men's.
I think I read in one of the yearbooks that you had a special onion holiday, and the students went out and picked 20,000 bushel of onions. Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything?
No, I didn't remember that, but I
was surprised to read about that. Well, then, right about that time, 1941, about the same time the men students mm-hmm. went off to war and some of the men faculty went off to the war, you said, that's about when McLean left. Because President Snarr came in 41, I believe.
41, that's right.
What happened with President McLean? Did he retire? Or?
He retired, yes.
But he, do you know where he went
no.
to retire? He didn't stay no. in.
He didn't stay here in the Moorhead.
Do you remember anything mm-hmm. about the adjustment of the change of presidents?
Not too much right at the change. There was an adjustment after Dr. Snarr arrived. He was very definite about his programs, and he came from Chicago University, and so he had some ideas about the humanities program or general education programs, and he also set up a lot of committees. Almost every faculty member became involved in committee work.
Do you remember
and,
any?
Mr. McLean didn't have so much of the committees. He had the faculty group, the heads of the departments that worked with him. And, but when Dr. Snar came in, why he sort of brought in most of the departments into some kind of activity.
So you all had work on committees?
On committees, yes. And we met and decisions were made, and I don't know whether a person should remark about Dr. Snar, but he was a dominating person, and he expected certain results in his committees, and if people worked with him, why, they were favored somehow. I was one of the favored ones because I believed in humanities as a way of training, working with students. And it's kind of surprising. I went through some of my old class books, and I had a course in the department called Humanities. I'd forgotten about that, but it was a general purpose course that taught something about different phases of the art programs, history and interior decorating and design and drawing and painting and some background informations. Sort of like an art appreciation course.
It's interesting to know that it started back then, shortly after President Snar came?
After he came, yes. I was probably influenced by some of the readings, education readings at that time, and of course Dr. Snar would be made that his principal point of information that he wanted to work toward. And
well, then about that time,
let's see how far are we going here. See, there was the war, and then there came on the campus the Army the Air Corps program. Mm-hmm. And they moved into one of the girls' dormitories, and they also moved in those units that were just north of the women's dorms, and they also brought in this large unit where they had barracks, and that was south of the campus school, in between the campus school and Weld Hall.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
In between there.
Yeah. And there were some 20 or more faculty who became involved in working with us, this Air Corps group. Dr. Swenneman in geography was one of the principal instructors teaching geography and weather conditions to the Air Corps people, and he wanted me in his part of the program, so I worked with Dr. Swenneman in geography, and I made lots of maps, illustrations that the Air Corps people could look at and see certain conditions. I learned quite a bit about weather. And then I also taught some of the classes in geography. I had no training in geography other than this painting or making these visual aids for the Air Corps. And it was difficult in some ways, but Dr. Swenneman made out the tests, and all I had to do was follow his forms and check they were true-false exams, mostly. So I was able to handle that part.
It's interesting how they made use of art and humanities.
Mm-hmm.
People, yeah. in such a practical application.
Mm-hmm. I had some night classes, and three or four of the Air Corps people attended the night class and painting classes, and I had one, a very excellent student.
Now, the Air Corps people were only there about a year and a half, or a little over a year.
Not more than 2 years, I'm sure. My wife, Lucille, had charge of the food services in the dorms under Miss
Millie Dahl.
Millie Dahl. But she worked out the menus for the Air Corps people.
That's an interesting bit of history that I hadn't. That wasn't in the yearbooks.
No, it wasn't.
Well, then, shortly after that, the veterans began to come back.
Yes.
And so the enrollment grew, but did many of those veterans go into art?
We had quite a number of students in art, and it was the first time that we had more men students than we had girls in the advanced courses in art, not in the elementary programs so much, because the education students were women students, and but I had some very good art students who came to us. Ray Berg was one example of that time. And another phase about those barracks, the new faculty who came back, many of the faculty who came back from the Army service and new faculty lived in these Army barracks and used them for living quarters for, I don't know how many years, 2 or 3 years or so, and then they began to spread out into Moorhead, and the barracks were later removed, and the one building south of the campus had a fire, and that was torn down.
Now, the barracks, were they, do you remember if they were brought in for the veterans and their families when they came, or were they weren't there already
the
for the Air Corps?
The veterans and their families could live in those barracks.
That was the first purpose.
But there were faculty members who lived over there, too.
Because housing got so difficult.
It was difficult at that time.
Fine.
And several of my friends lived over there.
But you were already established in a home, so you never did.
I had a home, yes.
You were fortunate enough to be there ahead of time. Well, now, during this in-between time, before those veterans came back, when the enrollment was down so low, were you ever worried about unemployment?
No. You mean as far as the art department?
Yes. Did they ever start cutting down on faculty at that time?
No, they didn't. I don't. We didn't have that much faculty. We were working on a smaller.
You needed everybody that hadn't left for the war.
And even when they came back, well, there was a place for them. And actually, the enrollment didn't run that low. It could have been around 500. Or so students, but there was a need for every faculty member that was on the campus before the war started. And in the art department, the requirements of the elementary program, we were really working short-handed because we did so many things that in addition to the teaching work, I had decorating for the plays on the in the Weld Hall Auditorium, and I had a class in stage decorating. That was before Hansen came in, and I had never had any schooling on that, but I'd had a lot of experience in the high school, and I didn't do anything in the college, but I did a lot of decorating before I came here, so I had some experience as far as stage decorating, but I had my classes do most of the work, and some of it wasn't the best as far as decorating goes, but it served a purpose, and we worked under a handicap in Weld Hall because the music department was there, the band and orchestra, and Maud Wink's girls, and we had to fit our time as far in doing the decorating, painting the scenery. We had to fit those in between times, and then there were the convocations, of course.
Oh, yes.
That were held regularly.
We're going to talk about those a little bit later. Did you, was there summer school during this time, too? So that, did you teach summer school?
I taught summer schools. We would teach one term of summer school, and I'm not sure whether they began the two-term that early, but we throughout most of my years here, we had two summer terms, 6-week term and a shorter term to finish off the summer. The 2-year students who went through the program were required to attend school 9 hours every 2 years. I believe that that's the amount, and we got our share, more than our share, of summer school students who came back to take courses.
So there was
from these 2-year students who were trying to get toward the 4-year level.
You always had enough
We always had students.
To hold summer school classes. What about night classes?
I always had night classes.
You always had?
Different kinds, mostly painting and drawing. But I found out in my records, I went up to Crookston. I had some 46 students in a class. I went down to Breckenridge, and I had 55, 57 students in Breckenridge. And I taught in Detroit Lakes, and I taught in Fergus Falls. I had one period of summer school that I taught 2 days in Fergus Falls and 2 days in Detroit Lakes. This was in the summer. And then I lived at my cabin.
Can you remember?
No, this was before I got my cabin.
Oh.
So we rented a place on the Detroit Lakes.
Oh. Would this have been what dates about?
Not too far from the war years.
Not no, so it would have been before 1950 that you started.
Because I bought a lot at the lake in 1945 from the Gosleys.
So it was
and
very
so
early.
So this was before that time that I was at Detroit Lakes and Fergus Falls. But I always had large classes in these 2-year students who were trying to get satisfy their requirements.
There were other faculty who I mean, it kind of became a custom for faculty to buy lots at the lake. And
At that time, the Gosley Beach became a faculty beach, almost. But there were others who went to some other lakes around. But
then, did you have night classes in town here too?
I had night classes almost all through my years at McLean Hall.
Do you remember it seems? I'm not sure about this, but I vaguely remember when night classes started. I think I might have been in one of your night classes. And I think we paid $5.
$5 or $6.
Tuition?
Tuition, yes.
But now...
and I got that.
Did you get that?
Yes.
That's what I wondered about that, because I wondered if the teachers just volunteered that, or if you actually got $5 for each student, you know, that...
I usually had pretty fair turnouts, 12 students or 10, around that, up to 15.
And they met one night a week?
Would meet one night a week, yes. I had a Mr. Rustness from the bank who took a lot of interest in one class, and he liked it and did him some good as a banker.
And all this time now, Matilda Williams was head of the art department.
Yes.
Up until, do you remember?
Well, I can't think of just the year that she left. I got my doctor's degree in 54, and then we worked together for a number of years. It had to be somewhere in the 60s. And
so then you became head of the art department.
Then I became the head of the department when she left, yes.
Can you, do you have any memories of her, of Matilda Williams?
She was a good person, and she had a rapport with students. She worked well with the students in her classes, and she ran the art clubs that we had, and art clubs were a strong feature in our minor and major students. And I liked her very, very much. She was more strict in her teaching than I was. I was kind of a liberal type of a teacher, but if a student completed the assignments that she gave them, they invariably passed and more likely got B's in the courses. And you want to know more about Matilda?
As
far as I can tell, she came from the campus school. She was a kindergarten teacher. And then when there was room for her in the art department with, I think it was McCartan, they were in the Weld Hall at that time, and they had the some rooms in the basement over in Weld Hall. And then when McLean Hall was finished, why, the art department had new quarters, and she moved with that. And she wasn't a forceful person in many ways. She had her she taught well, and in some ways I think I was a little more popular, maybe because of my liberality teaching them. But we got along together very well. And she got her art history training in Chicago University, and so I think that she was primarily a history major person, even though she taught in the kindergarten and then came over to the art department and taught much of the art elements. But she taught the history and the art appreciation most of the times in those years.
And she came from Chicago University. I was wondering, there were quite a number of women heads of departments during SNAR's time. Was that because, was Matilda chosen by him, or was she already, she was already head of the art department before President SNAR came?
She was head of the department before Dr. SNAR came, but not, but McLean had to hire her.
So it wasn't because President SNAR chose the women heads of the departments, maybe,
no,
but because he inherited heads of the departments that were women.
Well, I don't think that he was opposed to the idea of women. I think one of his principal aides at the time was Miss Holmquist, and they worked together very, very well.
You mentioned Art Club a while back.
Art Club, yes.
Do you have any memories of the art club?
Well, I think the first one we took a trip to Minneapolis, and Matilda was going to treat us to all of us to a dinner. We were in the Radisson Hotel, and so she looked at the menu, and here there was a shredded steak was on the menu. Well, the price was better, but that wasn't it. She thought, well, steak, that would be pretty good. And so we all got hamburgers. And that was kind of an interesting thought in that connection. But we did go to Minneapolis, and we went to Duluth, and we went up to Winnipeg. I took a group up to Winnipeg later on with my present wife.
Did you go to see art exhibits? Is that what you did?
We saw art exhibits in Winnipeg, and we of course looked at, studied the architecture, and as you drive along, well, you can see some characteristics of the French people who lived up in Canada, and then the cathedral up there that had a fire sometime or other. We visited that cathedral.
What about here on campus? What did the art club do?
The art club, during homecoming, the art club students worked on flutes a great deal. They were in demand for the different organizations. And they worked on floats so much that we had little time for our own float, but we always put in a float into the parade. And this is also another interesting point. I think I made the crowns for the first four or five or so queens. I made them out of jewelry that I could pick up from anyone who would give me jewelry and some metal, and I'd put the jewelry in and make a crown, and these were given to the queens.
Well, they got to keep them.
They got to keep those crowns, yes.
It'd be nice to find some of those now, wouldn't it?
I don't know what happened to them. But that was just another little job that kept me busy. If you want another job that kept me busy, I did an awful lot of sign work.
Oh.
I painted more cards. My students weren't too capable in sign painting, and I did more sign work for the teachers' conventions, and during homecoming there would be a lot of signs painted, and
no extra pay for that.
No extra.
That was volunteer work.
Strictly voluntary. Yes. Well, even the work over in the stage decorating was voluntary.
What about the, there was an annual arts festival back in those days. Did that involve you at all?
I'm not, I can't think of the art festival.
I
so
think
much.
It was a program, so I don't know how the...
I think that was the, yes, that was a general program. I was on committee for some of the programs that were paid for by the student fees. We had student fees at that time that covered a number of things of that nature, and we also had a lot of art exhibits.
Oh, that were brought in.
The art exhibits were usually held up on the in the hall upstairs in McLean Hall.
Up on third floor?
On third floor. And I think we had some of the exhibits in the faculty room, which was next to the McLean's office at that time. There was a large faculty room.
That wasn't Ingleside. The room with the fireplace.
Yes, it had a fireplace.
That's where we had a lot of social gatherings.
Social gatherings, yes.
Do you have any memories of those?
Well, except that Karen Keevey was quite a dancer and liked to dance, and she would lead the people who came in square dances and or any kind of moving dancing that where you could mix couples together. And Karen Keevey was the main promoter of those dances.
Now she came in 1947, so that would have been the latter part of this period, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the president's reception at all?
Yes, very little though.
It seems to me that that happened every fall, and that it was a big formal affair. You don't.
I don't remember too much about that.
Too much about that. What about the what was it called? Chapel assembly or
chapel under McLean, of course, was required, and we were expected to sit One time we were in the on the stage, but we all but everybody was given a seat, and a record was kept of everyone who attended those chapels.
Students and faculty.
Students and faculty. Faculty were included in the records.
Were they held once a week?
Once a week. I think it was usually Thursday.
Uh-huh. And what kind of a, what went on, really?
There were programs, music programs, and speakers, and Maud Wink had her chance to place her students on the platform and sing, and the band, and athletic programs. The heroes of the football teams.
I suppose it was somewhat like what they had in the high schools. It was just a little more.
It was just another stage of high school.
Advanced
promotion, yes.
Do you remember? Did it have a religious tone?
Well, there was always prayer.
Oh.
At that time, there wasn't that question about prayer so much then as it is now. The singing of some hymnal songs.
Uh-huh. But there wasn't a sermon. It was the program instead of the sermon.
Well, there would be some ministers would be come and give talks, but there were other people, good speakers, who were brought in to give a talk. They had to have something, you know, of a variety of nature when you have it every week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine they worked hard to find mm-hmm. programs to have. I can vaguely remember your painting portraits. Was that something you were asked to do by the college administration, or?
I was given sort of a commission to paint Weld and Lord, and I painted their portraits, and I may have gotten $50 or so, and then the faculty paid for the frames of those pictures, and those were hung in Weld Hall, and then I painted McLean's portrait. I'm not sure whether I volunteered to paint his portrait or whether someone suggested it. But anyway, I painted his portrait from life. The ones of Weld and Lord were, of course, painted from photographs. And I don't know whether that painting is hanging. The other two paintings were taken out of Weld Hall and stored in a basement and became mildewed, and which is what should happen to them. I don't believe too much in keeping relics of the past. And I know it's nice to have history like this conference. It's something of the past, and it's history, but I don't believe in keeping taking up too much space, and especially in a modern situation to have old paintings like Weld and Lord hanging, even though I painted them, that doesn't influence my thinking about that. And I did paint a portrait of Ballard for Ballard Hall, but I've never turned it over to him.
The idea evidently was to have a portrait to go with each building.
With each building. I painted Dr. Snar for his building.
Is that there?
I think so. I haven't checked on it.
Well, I think I've covered most of the material that I had in mind, but now you said you did some kind of checking back and reviewing what had happened during that time. Did you find anything that you'd like to add to what we've put into the history?
Not too much. The humanities program was, of course, one of the big features of that time. And in the art department, Matilda Williams had most of the humanities, the teaching of the art history phase of the humanities. And I sometimes filled in with the modern phases of the history of art while she was teaching the Renaissance or the medieval and the Renaissance areas. And the way the humanities was run, they had large groups over in Weld Hall, and the teachers who worked on the program would lecture and tell the students about their phase of it. Then every teacher had the entire student group was divided among the teachers who were involved, and each of those became the advisors for those groups. And so the advisor for each group had to be familiar with every phase of the humanities, the English, poetry, and history, and philosophy, and I think that was principally the humanities program. But that involvement with those students, those 40 students, I think was the one of the main stumbling blocks to the program, that not every teacher can be that familiar with other people's departments. Mm-hmm. And I when Matilda Williams went to Chicago for a year's sabbatical, I had the entire program that year in the humanities, and I think this was still in the 50s. And I found it very difficult. I could take care of my art part of the program, and I didn't feel as though I had any problem there. I was interested in history, so that wasn't too much of a problem, but philosophy was a little more of a problem, the definition of terms, and the music was definitely not in my category. I never really been familiar with the timing and such in music.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, that you did team teaching back then, where I don't think we'd heard the word yet, but that's really kind of what you were doing.
Well, that was brought in by Dr. Snyder, and he forced this onto the campus.
Uh-huh. In his general education program.
In his general education program, the humanities program was his principal achievement, if you could call it an achievement.
Uh-huh.
And
well, I'm glad you told us about that.
This is just a personal
good thing
comment
to add,
of thinking about the humanities, and I think that I think that we weren't ready for that kind of teaching. I think we had to have teachers brought in who had a humanities program as college teachers, and they had to be as much interested in every phase of the program.
He was doing a general education program,
and he was making
with specialized people.
He was making these specialized people perform this service.
Uh-huh. Did you think of anything else as we went along that I didn't give you a chance to talk about that we could add?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
In my art elements classes, I had up to 42 students at a time. Sometimes I had two classes of 42 students. And it wasn't unusual for me to have a load of 200 students per quarter, which was too large for any teacher, and especially in the art program, which was a visual aids type of program. That now you can handle 50 or 100 students in a humanities lecture, but to teach drawing and painting and such to 40 students meant quite a bit of observation and supervising and checking their work. There was quite a load there.
It was kind of a laboratory course, but they didn't.
It was a laboratory course, but not
fewer students to handle.
No, it's nothing like what they have now. When some of the teachers have 12 students or 8 students. Well, I had some classes in our advanced classes. In order to keep a minor or a major going, we had to have those advanced classes. I would teach structure 1, structure 2, structure 3, all at the same time. And I did this with several programs. And we developed a 554 or a 474 number that was of the type that a student could select his own field of study and do it on his own, and then he would come in for conferences with me. Uh-huh. And this is something that I found when I talked to Mr. Stratton recently, that they are now using a method very similar to to that in their program. They kind of looked down on my way of handling that many students or that many classes. I didn't have many students. I may have had only 3 students and one in each group, or I might have 6 in one group and 2 or 3 in the other 2 groups. But it was a personal type of work, so that the student had to work a great deal on his own. Uh-huh. And develop in his own way, and I believed in that.
So you started a system that they're coming back to.
I don't know if they did that within the mind that I did it. Uh-huh. It was just something that came up as a need in the department.
Then I wanted to ask you about you talked about teaching, and that your course was kind of a visual course. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, did you have slide projectors and slides of art, like in art mm-hmm. history and humanities classes?
In art history, we had quite a collection of slides, and we had our projectors and stuff. That wasn't so much my part of the program, and I did very little work with visuals, aids of that type. It wasn't that much of a part of the program.
So a lot of yours, you said you didn't teach such a big percentage of the art history, but you did teach some. But
the year that Matilda went to Chicago, I taught all of the art history that time.
Did you just use the pictures in the books, the illustrated books?
I used books, but I used the different books from what she did.
Oh.
I had my preferences I had taught art history from the time I started teaching in Aberdeen. Uh-huh. And so I had some art history was one of my strong minors. So I had quite a bit of training in art history.
Well, if you have nothing more to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I could sit here and think for a while, I could think a lot of things.
To be here to help you think, but I don't know.
Narrowing it up to 1950, it's...
I think we'll close it off at 1950. Mm-hmm. They'll probably, when they study a different time, they'll probably get back to you on what comes mm-hmm. after. But thank you very much. I've learned a lot of history this morning, so it's been a good visit.
Glad I could contribute something.
Good.